Hello, REI Society. Just wanted to get excited about telling you the story of my biggest flip ever. The most profitable flip ever. To be quite honest with you, it happened this year in 2020, earlier this year. Such a wonderful thing happened. I had my first $100,250 profit on a house. Now, the average profit for Atlanta is, you know, on a volume game, when we're doing 100 homes a year, you know, it's about $30,000. Some will make $300,000, $500,000, $7,000. Some will make $30,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. But when you average them all together, we're only making about $30,000 a flip. So, and then you got contractors and you know, all these things that you're spending, and, you know, just kind of dwindles it down. It's like, oh, gosh, come on now. But when you hit these big ones, it makes you feel like you're doing something. So this property is that I flipped was in East Atlanta Village, in a really up and coming area that is really well known in Atlanta. It is a very, very nice area that's being gentrified right now, continuously being gentrified. Lots of bars and restaurants and coffee shops are all within walking distance, and you got a short drive to all the other like really nice pocket neighborhoods in Atlanta, like Kirkwood and Inman Park and so on and so forth. So this area, I had somebody bring a deal to me, but I had actually put myself out there as a lender at the time. I was going to be the one that was lending to make money off of people who couldn't obtain financing, and I was going to be their hard money lender. But of course, I didn't want to tie my money up for like 6 months, so I've only had bridge loans for 10 days. Now, a bridge loan, if you're not familiar, is basically a short loan for you to bridge the gap between the purchase to the sale when you're wholesaling a property, or to get another hard money lender to come in and take the loan off your hands. So you are bridging the gap for the investor, or I was in this case, bridging the gap for the investor so that they could wholesale. So their story with me was, hey, I've got this property right in here that we've got the best deal possible. I want to say it was like $200,000. And they said, hey, I've got this deal right here. I've got the best deal possible. And I've got another person who wants to buy a wholesale from me for like $260,000. And they're asking me, what's your points? What's your fees? I said, I just want 3%. So $6,000 off $200,000. I will put up the $200,000. I will take 6% back in profit as long as you close me back out in 10 days. You keep the rest. You're going to make your $54,000. I will make my $6,000 plus get my $200,000 capital back, and all is well. So all was well. That was the case. We bought the property, or they bought the property, I financed it, and then from there we went ahead and had the deal on the table. Now, about day five comes up, the person comes up to me and says, hey, I'm having issues with this original buyer. I said, well, you've got a few more days to pay me off. I literally can't extend. I mean, we all went in knowing what we're going into, and I cannot extend this property. I cannot extend the finance on this because I need my capital back. I'm not a traditional lender. I'm a bridge hard money lender. Just like we talked about, business is business. And we had an understanding up front. And this person, with respect, said, I got you. No hard feelings. We're going to keep at it. About day 7-8 comes along. They say, hey, we got another wholesale buyer. They're going to buy it. First one went to the wayside, but we're good. Can you give me an extra day or two? I said, sure, we'll give you an extra day or two, but if you can't get it closed, you're going to have to sign the deed over to me, unless you want to go through foreclosure process. And then in Georgia, we're in a non-judicial foreclosure state, so it can happen pretty quick with just a couple of paperwork listings in the newspaper and a little bit of filing, paying a fee. You can have a foreclosure done within 30 days here in the state of Georgia, which is asinine, right? But they do that. I explained that to them. So they said, yeah, for some reason, if we just don't get this thing sold, we'll just sign it to you. And I said, well, look, you'll understand something. You'll understand that you always can't guarantee success, even with work. This is a speculation game. And unfortunately, if this doesn't work out for you, you know, at least you've learned something here, right? And they said, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll have lost a little bit of money, which I gave them 100% financing on this deal. I gave them 100% financing on this deal, and they were really, really excited about that. But they did have to pay their own closing costs, and they were out like $2,500 with attorney's fees and title insurance and things like that. They were out all of this money, but I mean, in the case that this thing didn't go through. Well, day 11, 12 gets here. Whatever day it was, their deal fell apart. They couldn't sell it to the wholesale buyer. The wholesale buyer wouldn't buy it. And I had these people meet me at my attorney's office. We already had the quitclaim deed coming back to me. They signed. I had a conversation with the person outside. And we walked away with respect, with mutual respect. They tried hard. I saw something in them. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. But now I had a property. Well, excuse me. At this time, earlier in the year, I had a lot of my reserves out in displacement. I had a lot of my out in other placements. And this was just right when COVID hit. So I was nervous. And I had to spread myself thin by lending and purchasing properties to flip. And I had less than a couple $100,000 in the bank with like probably 20 something projects. And that was really nerve-wracking. This was around March. Around March, February or so, right before COVID. And then it got worse around COVID. So we were remodeling this house. I took the property back. I started remodeling it. I had already done my comps. I knew what the due diligence was. I knew I had a good deal. I could put $100,000 in this property, be in it for $300,000, and list it for $500,000. In fact, we took the property back for $200,000. We put $120,000 in it. I'm in it for $320,000. I refinanced it in the process. So now I have another bunch of closing costs of my own, and I've got a little bit of interest I'm paying. So I got my money back, beefed up my accounts for my operating account for my business, and my hard money lender, they give me preferable terms. I'm paying like 8.75 and 1%. Most people probably can't get that if they're new, but I'm seasoned. I've been doing it for so long. So I got my money back. I got good terms, and all is going well. Well, we put this thing on the market, I guess somewhere right after COVID, maybe right around that area. When in March, when it started becoming really full blown, and I was just nervous, even with getting my money back, I'm like, oh shoot, this is a $320,000 property with interest and everything and closing costs. Now I'm in it for $330,000 and it's worth $500,000. We put it on the market. We felt it out for about a month, and I probably should have held on, but everybody in real estate was nervous. And this is like the biggest luxury flip I've been doing for a while. Now, this is a medium price point home. This is not necessarily a luxury flip, but it is, for this area, it was a medium price point home. But I traditionally do starter homes between, you know, $150,000 to $300,000 ARVs. This has a $500,000 ARV. And it's just a little bit above the threshold. And I thought with COVID, I was going to be sitting on this for months and months and months and months in. So I took... I took the sales price down from $500,000 after three or four showings. Nobody was really biting, no offers. I took it down to like $475,000. And then a couple weeks went by. We're probably into mid-April or so at this point. Took it down again to like $460,000, $459,900. And then I got my offer. Got my offer at $450,000-ish. And we had to pay our closing costs within, closing costs, commissions, all that good stuff, some inspection repairs. We walked away at the closing table after closing this property out, that was a property that I was lending on, that I was supposed to only make $6,000 on. And then from there, I was gonna eventually make $150,000 to $180,000, maybe even upwards of $200,000 if I had multiple offers with this hot market, by listing it with a retail price at $500,000, getting really excited with that, reducing it, and then my net at closing ended up being $100,250. Well, guess what? That's my highest net profit on a single family home on one property ever, I made $100,000, $250. That's more than some people's yearly income, and I made that in a period of, what, 3-4 months? Now, that sets expectations, right? You know, you have these successes. You hit a grand slam right out of the gate, and you're like, man, what a great start to the year. I mean, I'm into May, and obviously it wasn't the beginning of the year, but I'm in the end of May, and I'm extremely excited, so I get really, really bullish for the year. And then everybody sees that real estate's surging. Everybody sees that real estate's booming, and I'm excited. I'm excited about the year. Now, we haven't hit another home run like that all year long. Actually, a grand slam, but we have had some triples and some doubles and maybe even a third base kind of, you know, to home run, like right in the middle. We've had some really good success, and then I've had some duds. I've had some first base deals. I've had some deals that I broke even on. And it just goes to show you that you have to do volume to make the money you want to make. And for me, I want to make 7 figures plus. So I'm having to push 100 homes a year to make the money I want to make. And that's how the average of $30,000 a property comes out. And I'm sure some people in other sides of the U.S. are making more per pop. Good for them. I'm excited. But for me, like, this was a game changer. Now, I'm really, really bullish on the mid-price market. I'm really, really bullish on the luxury home. I've got a couple of properties going right now that we'll probably make $250,000 on. But guess what? When you buy them right, so what's the story? What's the story here? Yay, good for you, Brandon. You made $100,000, $250. You did a creative deal. The story here, there's all kinds of stories here. There's all kinds of endings to go off of, to learn lessons from. There's all kinds of lessons to learn here. So I created a funding company. I was looking for making some money with some excess capital that I had available. And then this deal was presented. I saw that it was a good deal. I knew what the comps were, $500,000. I'd be lending on this for $200,000. In the worst case scenario, I would have it back and I would own this property for $200,000. And I have the resources to renovate a home. So I had an escape plan. The escape plan was that I would be remodeling it, which was the worst case scenario, and the worst case scenario happened. And I wasn't scared. I was prepared for this project. So I succeeded because I was prepared, and I took the property back and all is well. And then from there, I had another worst case scenario was I was really low on funding. I was really low on banking at the time. My operating account was extremely low because everybody was freaking out in March and in February with this thing coming on. And then the states shut down in March and it's like, oh, this is realized. So I had some challenges, especially when hard money lenders were starting to tighten up earlier in the year. They didn't know that real estate was going to continue to surge. So I did what I could do to get these things refinanced, and I finally got something worked out, but I got my money back. But it was like pulling teeth. But your network is key. More people you can bump elbows with, the more wealthy people you know, the more exit strategies you have in the worst case scenario. All right, so I was able to get my money back. People that have done business with me, that believe in me, that know I'm a good person and a good steward of their money, and I got myself out of a small jam. I would have got myself out anyways, because things were going to sell, but I got myself out of a small jam temporarily. The other thing was I'm not greedy. I mean, yes, I had a ton of equity there, and yes, I did make a lot of money off this one flip, and yes, I should have made, after closing costs and commissions, $170,000 to $180,000, and we put it out there, but feeling the uneasiness of the market and what was going on earlier in the year, I knew to reduce. And I did. And I still made $100,000, $250. I had enough equity there to still make a profit, and a great profit at that, but I reduced my price point aggressively to hit what I felt like was coming, to hit the sale of the property to a point where I can cash out quickly, because I felt like what was coming could have been bad. And a lot of people did. Thankfully, it didn't happen that way. And real estate surged and we had a great year this year. But I was prepared to make a lot less, and I wasn't greedy. I wasn't gonna hold out. And yes, I could have held out. And yeah, when Georgia started, I think Georgia was the first state to reopen. We opened right back up in 3 weeks or so, but I didn't know that at the time. And then it probably took another 3 weeks for us to be stable out here where people had confidence in what was going on. But I put myself in a position to profit and not to be damned per se because of what was going on around me. I'm just like, screw this. I'm getting out. I pulled and I'm willing to take whatever I can get, a minimal profit that I felt was great. And this person got a great deal. They got a property for $450,000 when it was only worth, when it was worth $500,000. Now with what happened with the rest of the year, it's probably worth $520,000. So the market here just accelerated ridiculously at that point. So that's another lesson learned. And then the last lesson is only can you make the income that you want to make with volume. Now, if you're okay making $30,000 here three times a year and you made $90,000 and that's a good income for you, great. For me, I need to make seven figures plus. So I've got to do enough volume to produce that income. And then I've got help. I've got employees. I've got bills. I've got interest payments. I've got all this stuff. So we have to do millions of dollars in gross sales to produce the net results that we want to produce. And I know that I need to keep buying and selling, buying and selling, buying and selling to produce the lifestyle that I want to achieve. And I put people in place. They're good people. We've talked about that a couple episodes ago. And I've given incentive programs and things are working seamlessly. But here's the thing. I had to put all of this in place to work the lifestyle I wanted. And it's scary. Sometimes you're in a market that's shifting and changing and moving around you and things are uncertain. I guess I'm talking to the guys that are listening, the ladies, you know, whatever you guys want to substitute for this, but you're putting your balls on a table on the chopping block. I mean, it's scary, but you have to know that you know what to do best for you. And I know that I know enough people to get myself out of enough properties. I know enough buyers. I have enough equity where I can fire sell. Heck, if I lose on three or four homes, but I got 20 homes and then I profit on eight of them and break even on the rest, I'm still in a good place. You need to know where you're at with what you're doing at all times when this business is going. Because here's the thing, I'm gonna summarize it with this. In uncertain markets, there's uncertainty. In unprecedented times, there's uncertainty. And going into the winter now, there's uncertainty. A lot of people are expecting 2021 to crash. A lot of people are expecting 2021 to accelerate. I'm not going to move forward in fear. That's false evidence appearing real, and it's not faith. False evidence appearing real is never going to get anybody anywhere. Faith is going to move you forward, and you can move two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Eventually, you're going to move forward all the way down the road. I'm not saying you're not going to get beat up, you're not going to get bruised. But as long as you're doing it with intention and you know your numbers and you know where you're going forward, you're going to be okay. And then you can have your most profitable deal ever like I did. And it's a beautiful thing. All right, guys, if you like this episode, go ahead and screenshot it. Send it up into the Instagram world. Tag me in it at Brandon G. Thompson. If you want to learn how to flip houses, I have a training course on flipping houses at REISocietyEDU. .com. And then if you have any questions whatsoever about flipping or real estate in general or business in general, text me at the number in the show notes below. I can't remember the number, so go to the show notes below. All right, guys. Thank you. See ya.